You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So, welcome to this week's episode of Coffee Talk. If you have just joined, Coffee Talks are the short in-between episodes where we read your user-submitted ghost stories, hang out with friends, talk about witchy pop culture, or chat with you about what's going on in our personal practices. If you want to be featured on Coffee Talk, email us at submission@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can send us your submission on our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com. You can send us your tips, your ghost stories, or any funny story you think the community would love to hear. Be sure to let us know if we can share your name or if you prefer to stay anonymous. I can pronounce, I promise. Your social media usernames are also a great way to get credit. Now, on Patreon, we also have a class this month on October 28th, and it's going to be hosted by Hannah Hadidi of Morning Light Divination, and they will be teaching us Death Magic 101. So if you want to get on that, I mean, this is the perfect season to, like, dig into that. So, yeah, think about joining us on Patreon. So, as you can probably tell by my voice only being here, Robin had some family matters to take care of, but I am joined by a very special cat guest, Kat Cormier. Go ahead and plug yourself. What are your usernames on everything? What's your business? Tell us everything.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kat Cormier. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, all under @Kat_Cormier. So feel free to say hello over there. I am a pagan. I am an opera singer and have been a paranormal investigator for about 12 years now. And I also do some theater on the side. I mean, you'd think that with the opera, but, you know. I like to clarify, there is a difference between music, theater, and opera. Okay. And I love just everything the occult. I have such a passion for it. My mother was a tarot reader, you know, and now me following this pagan path. My 5-year anniversary was actually just a few days ago. So that was very special.
Yeah,
and I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Speaking of opera singing and of theater, yes. I went to a show like Sweeney Todd, like a local theater group, Sweeney Todd, and you said that you were a part of Sweeney Todd.
I was, yeah. I played Joanna in 2015 with the Concord Community Players, and that was an incredible experience. They had a wonderful orchestra playing, and for those that don't know the musical, Joanna is the daughter of Sweeney Todd. Sorry, spoiler. And she sings super high notes. She sounds
so
like a bird. She sings,
high.
Yeah, like she sings a greenfinch and linnet bird, so she sounds like one of the birds. And I got to be that, so.
You would need a, like, an opera singer's voice. Like,
it's true.
Singing voice for that.
You can't pop that role. You can't do the poppy thing with that, you know, the little chest voice thing. No, it's got to be the high head voice.
Yeah, it's so funny how many people are taken off guard by, like, her singing, you know, the character singing, like, the pitch. Like, I just saw people look at each other like, whoa.
I know. It's so interesting singing classically, because there's not a lot of us here in New Hampshire that are in their 30s and actively singing opera. So when you get an audience, guys, I also just finished Sound of Music. I was Mother Abbess in Sound of Music. So I got to sing The Big Climb Every Mountain, if you're familiar with that piece, but people hear loud high notes, and it's like, I love seeing their faces. It's great. It's a fun moment.
So how has your like October been? Because we're getting closer and closer to Halloween, like every single day.
It's been busy. It's been very busy. Oh my gosh. Yes. So yeah, I mean, just in general, but recently I started actually helping out with a local haunt called Haunted Overload in Lee, New Hampshire. I had been taking photos there for a couple of years, and then the owner reached out and he was like, hey, you should act here and you should, you know, come and meet the crew and all of that. So I've been helping them move pumpkins and, you know, put some corn stalks up and things like that. I'm not super handy dandy with the drill, but I will try next year. That's the goal. So I've been busy over there helping with them. And I also got contracted for a haunt in Lincoln, New Hampshire. It's a theater called Jean's Playhouse, and we're doing a show called Ghost Light, which is like a haunted theater experience. So you still get the walkthrough, but it's inside of a building and they make it look abandoned and there's this whole story and it's just super. So I'm just in prep mode for that character work wise. And then I'm diving into actually a holiday show. I'm doing Christmas Carol. So we go into rehearsal for that on October 24th. No life. Like, I mean, outside of work, I work at a radio station. And outside of that, it's like theater, theater and that. And as well, it's hard to sometimes put in craft practice, you know, stuff for Samhain, because that's my favorite season. But I feel like I commune with spirit so much, especially like the deity that I work with. It's just another day for me. You know, it's still an important one.
That makes sense.
But when the spooks are your life, it just becomes a lifestyle. Yeah.
All the work that you're doing sounds super festive. So at least you're like in the festivities of it all. Like,
oh, yeah.
So is the place that you're going to be working at is like all the pictures that you've been taking and putting on like Instagram and stuff?
Yep.
Oh, the old haunted mansion. So pretty.
It's stunning. I really hope that you get to go sometime and visit because the crew is amazing. They'll even offer tours outside of the season if you let them know in advance. They're just so kind and they put their heart and soul. Everybody volunteers their time to do this and to just create something of that magnitude and have it look like a movie theater quality in the middle of the woods.
What's
even greater about them is they don't keep any of that money. All of that money is donated to charity and to the farm that they build on. They're just incredible people. I can't praise them enough. So
yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
I but swear, it's been like New England does Halloween, right?
They really do. Well, it's because it's so true. There is no better place during fall season than New England. Ever. Yeah. Like anywhere. No. Anywhere. You can't beat it.
In my neighborhood, there's only like 4 houses decorated so far.
Oh,
and it's
really?
Just it's so the Halloween in the South can be very sad.
Oh, it's okay. You make it your own.
Exactly.
Your own.
I mean, my wife and I had our Halloween stuff like up. The first one's up and it was like September 1st. And
I love it.
Yeah, we're that house, so it's fine.
I love that though. It's been so crazy though, because, you know, when you go into this thinning veil season, you have a lot of heightened paranormal activity, or at least I have been in my apartment, and I've been having a lot of poltergeist activity in my kitchen again, and it always seems to happen around this time, and I'm like, guys, not the pans. Not like, no. Okay, no, we don't need to do that. Thank you very much. So it's been an interesting month because I just feel like with everything just kind of going on in the world in general, everything is just heightened right now.
Yeah.
So the activity is just through the roof.
Yeah, I woke up maybe, I think it was a week ago, and I was wide awake. Like this wasn't like a, you know, liminal period where I was like between sleep and being awake, but I heard piano music playing and I was like, okay. I wasn't creeped out or anything or scared, but it was very like, I've never like experienced that before in my house, but it was still like, I wonder who's playing piano.
Did you have anyone in your family that played piano, or do you play
actually,
piano?
I know at my grandparents' house that they had a piano, but I'm not sure if they played it. I think it was just for music lessons for the kids. But I wouldn't doubt it. My family was very musically inclined. Like, actually, my grandma and my, I guess my uncle that, great uncle, there we go, that's the word. He was an opera singer, so, and my grandma was too. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that. I like, yeah. It's such a lost art.
It is.
But it's so beautiful.
So let's get into your personal experiences, the ones that you told me a little bit about that I'm very excited to hear.
Yes. So I'd like to do a little shout out. I've been an investigator for 12 years, but for the past five, I've actually been with a paranormal group called Ghost Girl Diaries. Shout out to Crystal. That's her baby. And we've been having a lot of fun filming pilot episodes and things like that. You know, in Arizona and Nevada and all of that. So it's been really fun to kind of go outside of New England and go in other places across the US and have those experiences. So a lot of fun. But the biggest one that I had was really interesting. So there was two. One was Annabelle. And if you are listening to this and you follow me, y'all know what's up because that Annabelle story follows me everywhere and it's kind of crazy. I will preface this that if I start talking about her, my connection gets really strange. So if it gets weird, just tell me and we'll just take a pause because she likes to mess with my stuff when I talk about her and about the experience. But I know it's gonna be good. But so the first experience was, I mean, this wasn't like my first experience, but this was a very prominent one that I will never forget. I was actually with Crystal and we went to the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas. And he has a bunch of artifacts in there, Zach, but there's one room specifically that was the Ed Gein room. And what was in this room was the cauldron that the police found in the barn where some not good things happened. And what Zach did was literally take the item and created a room for it. So he recreated a barn, the barn that they found the cauldron in and put it in this room. Okay.
That's
so
wild.
When you do that, just immediately, whatever energy is attached to anything is going to feel comfy because it's in a space that it's familiar with, you know, if that's something you believe in.
Oh yeah.
It was claimed that if you walk to the back of the room, you could hear a big foot, like a big stomp behind you. You know, if you were a lady of said description that Ed Gein was interested in or wanted or whatever. If you're not familiar with Ed Gein, look him up. User discretion advised. That's a whole other story. Anyway, so at the time, my ex, I did not tell my partner where I was because he did not like the paranormal. It really freaked him out. I didn't want to freak him out. So I just decided to not tell him anything. So that morning, that early morning, it was probably like 3 or 4 West Coast time. He calls me and he's like, I had a really weird dream last night. He was in that liminal space of like waking up in the middle of the night, whatever. I know he wasn't making this up because he doesn't like the paranormal. So like, I don't think he would just like pull this from something and like tell me, but he said that he saw a tall man enter the bedroom, our bedroom, with a leather mask on.
Excuse me?
And he walked into the room around our bed and went to my side of the bed and bent over and stayed there for like a solid 15 to 20 seconds. Okay, so when he's telling me this, I'm like, do I tell him that it's edgy? What do I do? Like, this is crap, you know? I'm like, what do I do? So I was like, weird. I don't know. Well, are you okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm fine. I just thought that was very vivid. Like, he was very tall and he had like a leather mask on.
Oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the next day I end up flying back from Vegas and I kind of forgot about it. And I know that sounds really crazy to think, like, forget about, you know, who would forget something like that? That
well,
a super
you're
tall.
Vegas.
That's
I mean,
true. I mean, well, and I'm so used to having paranormal experiences. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just like, you can't scare me. You know, okay. Thanks for that. But I went home the next day and I fell asleep and I fell into this horrible dream. Like, awful, just not good. In my childhood home, like, it was really strange too how specific it was, because it was almost like I fell into a trance-like state and I was having issues waking back up. And the whole overtone of the dream was panic, just like sheer panic. It had this like blue tone color over it. So it almost looked like it had been color corrected, like my dream. It was really strange. And I found a friend of mine in my old room in my childhood. And this is in the dream. And something happened to him that was similar to what Ed Gein was doing to other people. And I remember trying to drag this person out of the house because I was like, we need to go. He's coming. And I couldn't see him, but I could feel him coming. And you could hear his footsteps in the dream. Much like what they claimed you could hear when you would walk to the back of that room, you would hear him stomp down from the rafters, or you would hear his feet hit the ground. So I woke myself up from the dream. And I immediately felt a hand, like a man's hand, on my chest, pushing me back down into the bed to go back to sleep. And I was struggling to wake up like that. And it was strange because I've never, knock on wood, ever had sleep paralysis before. I don't know why. I just haven't. I'm not complaining about that. But it was probably the closest thing to sleep paralysis without seeing something that I had ever experienced. And I will never forget, like, you could literally feel the bottom part of the hand on the chest pushing me back down to have me go back to sleep. And I was like, no. It's like, no, you don't pay rent to live here. Okay. You need to go. So I got up immediately. I threw all the lights on. My poor ex was probably like, she's nuts. Like, this is a poor girl. And I cleansed, I like bell cleansed and everything. And I was like, no, we're not doing this today. So that was one really prominent experience. And he did not come back after that, but I just found that really interesting how you can have a residual haunt.
Yeah.
Like a paranormal experience when you're not even in the same place. Like the energy knew where I lived.
It's just hitchhiking ghosts.
Yeah, like, I mean, what the heck? I was on the total opposite side of the United States. How is it that he, or the likeness of his spirit, of Ed's spirit, would end up in my house, bent over 180 degrees, waiting for me to come home? Like, come on. That's so bizarre. So that was the first one that was really stuck with me for a while. And I was like, yeah, you don't want, he's not.
that's not terrifying at all.
We're just not kidding. Messing with that. Thank you very much. No, it was just wild. But the second one was with the Annabelle doll. I did meet the real Annabelle. I have pictures posted with her on my socials. This was pre-pandemic, I believe. Yeah, it was. It was pre-pandemic because I had a short blonde bob and then it grew out.
What?
Yeah, I was like total platinum blonde bob, really short. Yeah.
I can't imagine you with blonde hair.
I'll send you the pictures later because I sometimes forget that this was like I actually had my hair like that. So I'll have to send you that picture. But yeah, that was another life. It feels like another life ago. But she's huge. I mean, this doll is massive.
Yeah, because the old Raggedy Ann's were like humongous. They were like almost child size.
Like, why? I mean, why though? I mean, that's like suffocation issues, okay? Like, what if that falls on a child? Like, you know what I mean? Like, back in the day, I'm like, that is massive. That is a big doll. Okay. So when you walked into this convention, Tony Spera, who is the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine Warren, I will go on the record. I'm not a huge fan of him. I'm not a huge fan of Ed.
Okay, good.
Just to preface, like this is where it was. Yeah. And I wanted to have the experience with the Annabelle doll for a couple of reasons. One being, I really wanted to understand what that energy felt like, what dark energy like that felt like. So if I was ever investigating in a space, I understood what was coming and what that felt like, so I could either one, protect myself, or B, figure out how to get out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just important for me to put myself in those positions sometimes to understand what that is, so I'm not prepared for investigating, because you don't know what you'll bump into as a paranormal investigator. You just don't. So, you know, I went to the Conjuring House, saw the Annabelle doll. You know, those experiences were really important to me. So anyway, saw the doll. It lasted about 2-3 hours and she was under this big black tapestry. She was in the box, the like do not touch box. They had the Lord's Prayer engraved on the back of it. She was wearing a rosary. They said that sometimes like her hands will come uncrossed, like they'll be crossed and then like they'll open it and it's and her hands are open. So she's still there's still movement in there. And Tony was very specific in saying things like, don't even think bad thoughts about her or that you want something to happen because you're putting everyone here in jeopardy. Like if you're not a believer and you're here to just talk crap, don't be here. Like you need to go because this really happened. And it was really eerie energy. And I actually had a couple behind me that kept saying, she's just a Raggedy Ann doll. Like, this is a joke. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, of course they're right behind me. I was like, don't say anything, Kat. You got 5 placements in Aries, okay? You do not, don't make a scene right now in front of the animal doll, Tony Sparra. But I was close to, because I'm like, come on, guys. You literally paid $300 for a ticket to just sit here and like talk crap.
Yeah.
No, like, no. So anyway, the third hour passes and he unveils Annabelle. Within seconds, everybody in the room, you can hear moaning and groaning. Everyone has a splitting headache. Okay. What? I also had a splitting headache. It was awful. And it was so bad that like, I really could only stay in the room for like 10 minutes because I was having issues. There was issues. And people, I got really close to her. I did take that picture with her. And, what was interesting though was when we left the event. When we left, I was in the car apparently obsessively looking at the photo that was taken of me with Annabelle. And I didn't know that I did this, but apparently I did. It was I felt very now on the outside of it, I can say it was more of like an oppression where something was influencing that connection. Like they were wanting a way in. And I had the photo and I was zoomed in on Annabelle and I was actually looking down for 10 minutes and didn't say anything. And I was just zoomed in on the photo. So my friend that was with me driving, he was like, are you okay? You know, you're just literally just staring at a photo of Annabelle.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear him like the first few times. Like he even grabbed my shoulder and I did not hear him or feel him. And he was in the car right next to me.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay. Snapped out of it. Oh, sorry. You know, put my phone away. Went into restaurant. Did the same thing. The same thing. Okay. I did the same. Pulled the phone out without really thinking, zoomed in on her and was just sitting there staring. Came home that night, and then this was when like things kind of got really strange, and I was found. So this is with my partner before. He walked in on the apartment, and I was sitting in the middle of the living room, staring at the wall.
Oh my gosh!
Like he literally walked in to me sitting on the floor, just staring at the wall. And I was very comfortable there. Like, if he had not moved me, that's probably not a good sign to be comfy just sitting there staring at a wall after having some weird experiences and, like, bodily things happening with Annabelle. And it took a very long time. I want to say, like, 2 weeks after meeting her to shake that energy. The best way I can describe Annabelle's energy is much like any type of dark energy that you will bump into. It's very warm and inviting. They want to take over. They want to have, I'm not saying a possession by any means, but they want to have control. And the way that they can have control is if you allow them into your vessel or into your space and you don't do anything to protect yourself. And I wasn't doing anything to protect myself. I was literally a conduit for like a week and a half. And then within the second week, I finally was like, no, stop. And I would feel it come on. It felt like a low rumbling train is probably the best way to describe a dark energy like that. And it's like coming and you can feel it. You don't know where it is, but you can feel it coming. And then when it's there, it's almost like you get enveloped in this warmth, like you're walking through molasses is what it feels like. And it was just like that for 2 weeks. It was awful after seeing the animal doll. It was crazy. Like people have their opinions And that's fine. You can believe what mm-hmm. you want. But from what I had experienced and having been in the room for as long as I was with her and the after effects, she's the real deal. She's the real deal. And I very much feel like Tony's very affected by her in not a good way, not a good way at all.
That's what I've always thought is that just that doll like has continuously had bad energy put onto it repeatedly and repeatedly through the years. I mean, it's been there for, you know, decades, and it's just that energy just keeps building and building and building onto this doll. So it's going to be very, you know, even like, I don't know, just as much as we put onto it, it's going to give it back.
Oh, like, of course anything. It is.
Yeah.
And what's crazier is he also brought the Conjuring mirror, and the mirror was like right next to Annabelle. I'm like, why are you pointing a haunted mirror next to Annabelle? This is not good. Like, we're not. What? Take notes, Tony. Like, don't you know better? It was crazy. It was crazy. And, you know, and then you think of the doll and where it's actually placed in their museum. I think it's, is it in Connecticut? I think it's Connecticut. Sure. But I'll have to look this up, so don't quote me on that. But it's somewhere in New England.
Yeah.
In the New England area. And, she's literally put in a room with like hundreds of other haunted items that the Warrens gathered from locations. And I'm just, no.
Oh no. Mm-mm. I just, because I watched like a walkthrough of it with other paranormal investigators. And I'm like, why would you have, like, all these things are dangerous. One, why would you have people going through it? And then secondly, like, they're all, as you said, they're so close to each other and just like, and then just like with the Annabelle doll, continuously putting bad energy onto it, like these people are continuously doing it to the other objects. So like that house has got to be so, like, even just stepping foot in there, it has to be so intense.
What was it? I think I had one spirit box session that was actually pretty funny, now that I'm thinking of like funny experiences. And I was actually sitting around the table with the skeleton crew for Ghost Girl Diaries. This was before we filmed our first pilot. We were kind of just getting to know each other and all of that. Mm-hmm. And we had a big spirit box in the middle of the table. And the whole point of it was to just get comfortable. Crystal was like, let's get comfy with this. You know, there's such a stigma around the paranormal. Mm-hmm. Let's make this, with the lights on, an experience that we can all have together. And let's just share in that moment. So with the spirit box, a spirit box essentially channels spirits, so you can hear voices. So it has a radio frequency that goes at a specific speed where spirits can manipulate that energy, and you can hear a voice come through the box. And we kept hearing this woman come through, and you could tell that she was very playful, and you could feel the energy was light. You know, obviously use your judgment when you're investigating or doing these things, but she felt very, very light. And I think one of our crew members asked, like, do you guys burp on the other side or something? Like something so silly. And she laughed and she said, yup. Like so loud. And it was so funny because it's like, people don't think about that. You know what I mean? Like it's not all the darkness and evil and things like that, that people that don't have that experience might think it is. And it was just so funny to hear. They were like, oh yeah, we do that over here too.
So you're saying is that the ghost farting memes,
the ghost fart,
real.
Yeah, they go, they fart, they burp, okay, they literally do their thing in the spirit world, and like it's fine, you know, it happens. But it was such a funny experience, and it definitely lightened the mood. I will never forget that moment because we were literally laughing with her, and it was so great to hear her laugh. It was so prominent. So prominent. Yeah.
I love moments like that. Like,
me too. Like, you can actually have fun moments with spirit, like, genuinely.
Yeah. So nice. But I think that's all we really have time for today. But thank you so much for joining us. I really loved your stories, and I hope everyone else did too. I think they're perfect for like spooky season.
I know. Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for joining. And Robin will be back next week, guys. Like, she'll be back. But thank you so much for filling in her space for this one.
My pleasure.
Okay, so thank you so much for joining us this week for Coffee Talk. We hope to see you next week for our regular episodes. Check out our website for links to our submission forms, or shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com to tell us any ghost stories, witchy stories, tips, or topics you think the community would love to hear. And as always, if you enjoy Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want to support us directly, consider joining us on Patreon, where we share articles, special part two exclusive episodes, have a spell of the month box, and a Discord full of fun events, like a ton. We have the class, we have a monthly ritual, meditation, and a book club. But anyways, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.